You're listening to the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show, your daily podcast on the National Football League, powered by the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Schedules are out for the 2021 season. There's been some signings that have happened since we've been going through the post-draft wraps for every team, every division in the NFL. Still have one division to go. NFC East will finish up to end the week tomorrow, but we've got to get back to some of these signings. Tebow is back in town. Some offensive linemen have signed around the league. And of course, the schedule. It's a big day that the schedule has dropped Wednesday, and now we can speak about that schedule, what things are looking like with the season kicking off in 2021 with the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. And you get extra pumped when you start to see. I didn't think the schedule was going to be anything I was super interested in. It's one of those things, the league's going to push this out, and they love, their event of the draft is over, and now let's see what the next big thing they can make a big deal about is the schedule. But I got to admit, Matt, the fan in me got a little excited to see just some of those matchups, and I guess it's just a natural thing that occurs. You see, this is going to be fun. We're going to see football games this year, and we might actually have a bunch of full stadiums to boot.
Yeah, right. I'm kind of the same way. Like, I host a live release Steelers schedule show last night and sitting there waiting around for it to happen. Like, let's just get this over with. And boy, the schedule stuff is so overblown, and the NFL hype machine just pumps the stuff like crazy. And then it comes out and it's like, oh, wow, you got a bye week here, and then you got to go to Baltimore, and then you got to, you start laying out the season and it becomes real. I haven't studied all the different teams. We do have some trends to talk about, some noteworthy things, some noteworthy games. But no, it gets the blood pumping a little bit that, real games are not that far away.
Real, actual NFL football. That's what's great, and that's why we can do a podcast every day in the offseason around the NFL. Yeah. It's truly a league that never sleeps, and the draft is so far away from the season, and there's so much to talk about with the draft, and you stop and you realize, well, we're not that far from training camp now. It's going to be June soon. Rookie mini camps, like, the stuff is happening for the 2021 season already. Rookie camps, OTAs, there's going to be mandatory mini camps, then a lull of about a month, then training camp, and we're off and running with preseason games this year, down to 3 preseason games. It was also odd to look at the schedule and see 18 weeks, 17 games for all of these teams. So a lot of football to come, and we're off and running toward the 2021 season.
Yeah, without question. And, a lot of things that now, to get the wheels turning, and I think the world's getting back to normalcy, is a lot of our listeners probably are making travel plans to go see their favorite team in an away game. You move things around. The big thing in my house is, Matt, are the Steelers playing on Thanksgiving or Christmas this year? So as soon as it came out, I texted my wife, we're in the clear. That's it. Thanksgiving she can handle because I'm glued to the TV anyways. Yeah. Christmas with the Steelers does not fly well around here. So some of those type of things, some of the week one stuff broke earlier in the day. And people need to realize, the second they got that news, all 32 coaching staffs started dedicating their efforts to their week one opponent. Okay, we got Dallas in week one. Tom, let's get geared up because, this is all the moves they've made. Let's start studying that film now.
Yeah, teams have an eternity to get ready for that week one game. We already have lines at betonline.ag for those week one games too, I noticed. Great. Which is super fun stuff. So the NFL is so fun to cover for those reasons. By the way, I'm Brian Peacock at BD Peacock. That is Matt Williamson at Williamson NFL. We're going to do a big mailbag next week, get into some other, I guess we can preview and tease some of our shows next week too, Matt, right? Because you got some new articles and I want to dive into some of these things. You can find Matt's work, by the way, at profootballnetwork.com. And I love the way you rank things because it gives us a lot to talk about here. And I like to pick your brain about why you're ranking players and teams the way you do with some of your articles over there at the Pro Football Network.
Yeah, and I wrote that I'm doing a top 25 series, every position, and that'll make for a lot of good shows for us to go back and forth. Running backs are in the book. Wide receivers I turned in, but I don't think they're published. I think they go up today. I'm not positive on that. And I'm fiddling with tight ends right now, which is a little more difficult. I mean, you go from wide receivers to tight ends. I could name 50 receivers. I got about 15 tight ends. I got to stretch this thing out a little bit.
You got to be careful with your phrasing there, Matt, I got to say.
I forget how I said it, but I have a propensity for liking hot young tight ends. I say that a lot.
Absolutely. You absolutely do. I know that about you. Let's look a little bit at this 2021 schedule. And I mentioned how it's the Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kicking this thing off. I don't know how you want to tackle this. Was there just any big takeaways that you want to start with the 2021 schedule?
It's a hard thing to analyze or have a podcast about, to be honest with you. I mean, like, it's interesting that we know some things now that Thursday night opener is, as I kind of alluded to, Dallas at Tampa. I always feel for the road team in that situation. I mean, you're walking into a buzzsaw, the Super Bowl champs. I do think that's an advantage to play on that Thursday too for the champs, just because then you get a long week in week one, you know, to prepare for that second opponent. I always kind of feel for the teams that have the Monday night game in week one, because you have all that buildup time. You don't need the extra day ahead of time, but then you operate on a short week right to come out of the gates. So we know those things now. I sent you a couple articles of these are some of the best games on the schedule. We don't really know those things, you know. I mean, and I haven't broken down the schedule very thoroughly. I did steal a lot of stats from Warren Sharp, who does a great job, and I'd like to touch on some of those. He also has his strength of schedule stuff out now based on Vegas win totals. I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But really, it's a, you know, you look at your Niners, I look at my Steelers, whoever's listening that are Bears fans, look at the Bears and say, when are my bye weeks? Where are the tough stretches? You know,
right.
I don't have a great feel for all 32 schedules. I don't have any feel for all 32 schedules right now.
Let's pause on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and start there, because I think there's a few notes with their schedule, obviously kicking it off on that Thursday night game against the Cowboys. But looking further down the season, just a few weeks, week four, at the New England Patriots, that's always going to be a fun one. At this point, it seems fun. I think once we get to week four, we'll probably be annoyed by how over-covered it is with Tom Brady going back to face the Patriots, you know. But that's a fun one at this point in May, looking at this schedule. And here's what's interesting. So I've looked at a lot of different strength of schedules, and different analysts have different ways that they evaluate the schedule and how easy or how difficult it looks right now. And by midseason, by week two, or we can probably throw most of that stuff out, because teams will actually look a lot different, as we know, year to year. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, according to Mike Clay of ESPN, have the easiest schedule in the NFL. The Super Bowl champions coming back with the easiest schedule in the league. If you look at Warren Sharp's rankings, the 49ers have the easiest schedule in the league. PFF has the Niners with the easiest schedule. And NFL.com's analyst, and I forget who it was that put that article out, had the 49ers with the second easiest and the New England Patriots with the easiest schedule in the NFL. So people who do this have different methods, and they can't agree either. So it's going to be hard for us to say, oh, this is an easy schedule, that's a hard schedule. But for some teams, I think when you really look at who teams are playing, what division they're playing against, the 49ers are a good team. They get a fourth place schedule and are playing some really weak opponents that just looks pretty easy on paper. And then you get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that are playing a lot of teams, don't have a good track record of success coming into the year. You like those teams' chances. I think those are a couple teams that really jump out to me with schedules that they just seem really favorable.
Like you kind of mentioned, there's several ways to approach strength of schedule. I think last year's winning percentage is a very bad one. You know, like,
yes,
if you have the Cowboys on your schedule that didn't have Dak Prescott, you know what I mean? Like those type of things. Or, you know, what if Aaron Rodgers isn't a Packer? Well, they're not a 13 win opponent then. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So what I like is the way Warren does it. And he just takes them off of the Vegas win total lines. So, you know, if you have a team that is the Vegas over under win total is 10, well, that's harder than a Vegas win total of 5 that your opponent is. And I'm looking at that right now, and I just wanted to mention the tops and the bottoms. I mean, the middle really doesn't matter all that much. I mean, you're splitting hairs. But he has the Niners, as you mentioned, with the clearly easiest schedule
by a
pretty wide margin, which shocks me just because of division. I mean, I know the non-division games aren't brutal, but the NFC West 6 games are no fun.
Absolutely. That was one that surprised me as well. You would think the 49ers would have a tough schedule because they're in one of the tougher divisions. But, man, when you look at some of the teams they're playing this year and they get to start with the Detroit Lions, it's on the road, and you don't know from a new coaching staff how that team's going to play, but they've given Goff everything. Goff's probably like, oh, cool, I'm in another division finally. Oh, crap, I got the Niners coming up again in week one and that harassed me more than any team I've played against in my career. They've got the Jaguars on the schedule. The Houston Texans are on the schedule. Those three teams could have the top three picks in the draft next year.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, the Lions and Houston are very favorable matchups, to say the least. You mentioned one thing I want to touch on, too. I want to get back to the strength of schedule thing a little bit. But one thing I look at the second the schedule comes out is, are we playing any new coaching staffs early in the year or quarterback controversies early in the year? I mean, I think those things are legit. You'd love to see a team with a new staff early as opposed to probably late. And then I also really look at weather, too. You know, late in the year, yes, are there going to be a lot of bad weather games? I mean, is it you go into Cleveland or you go into Chicago, Buffalo? I mean, we know the bad weather places. But maybe even more than that, I really think, and this has become more and more of a trend in my opinion, playing hot games to start the season, particularly in Miami, Jacksonville.
Humid.
I think it's brutal because I don't think these players, I'm not saying they're lazy, they're not in the same shape in week one that they used to be because they don't play much in the preseason. I mean, most of these guys have not played 60 minutes since last year.
Right. You want to play in the South late in the season? You want to play in the North early in the season?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're the opponent.
If you're the opponent,
your
right.
Bag. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're Miami, you want every home game you can get in September.
Yep. You want that home field advantage. Okay. Some notes on something you just said there, and I want to go back to Warren Sharp's toughest and easiest schedules in the NFL next. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer? You can't see what he's looking at. He's looking at this screen, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Then you got to come back and wait for the part to even get there. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket with an endless supply of everything you need for your vehicle. I'm always blown away at how much they have in stock at rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are always the same for everybody and are always reliably low. Just let them know that Locked On sent you. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. I think it's interesting. You said something, and I might disagree. I feel the opposite about playing a new quarterback, a new coaching staff early in the year might be more difficult because, as you mentioned, teams are already starting to prepare. How do you prepare for a team that you don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet? And I think there can be some new staffs, some new teams that can sneak attack teams early in the year, even if they're not that good, just because teams don't know how to prepare for them.
You might be right. It's funny because I said the same thing last night on the Steeler Release Show, and the two other hosts said, I think you're wrong on that, Williamson. You know, I think I don't want to play the teams that with new coordinators. You know, I want to play, the stable teams that sure will make a wrinkle, but I know how to prepare for them. Because what people don't understand, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't either, is they think that a week, you know, from week 10 to week 11, you know, or just any NFL week, that, boy, they have a lot of time to prepare. It's not like hockey or basketball or baseball where you play a bunch of games in a week. You really don't. I mean, teams don't adjust what they do. They only have three practices. Right. You know, you have your bread and butter. And if you don't know the team's bread and butter, to your point, well, it's harder to prepare for them. So I might be very wrong on that.
Yeah, it's tough for NFL teams week to week, and you've got to sort of prepare for everybody before the season starts, and then if you have free time in between, and that's why coaches never sleep. And when the game's over, they go and break down the film of the game they just played, and they're on to the new team. Yeah. That night, even, or the next morning, Monday morning, when you get back into the office, or if you sleep overnight in the office and you're getting ready and you're installing stuff in the first practice of the week, and then on Wednesday you're doing red zone and, you know, third down stuff, and then you have the next game is coming, and sometimes some of those games you have like a short week if you're traveling on a Thursday night, short week.
You really don't get a practice.
Yeah, you get almost zero time to get ready for games. So it's pretty wild in the NFL how much time they have and how much effort they put into all of this, and then sometimes how that time can still run out on teams trying to prepare and get ready to play. That's why teams that are well-oiled machines and can just play how they play and beat you are so difficult, and that's why so many teams that are rolling and stay winning, because that's a tough roster build and a tough mindset and a tough scheme, everything, to just get in a place where everyone knows what's going on and you can tinker with it and you can add things to that base. The NFL is just a crazy beast, and that's why there's so much turnover, obviously, when it comes to coaching staffs and so many new coaches in the league every single year. And one of my favorite things, I think, coming up on the schedule this season is those rookie quarterbacks. And I talked about a lot on Locked On 49ers for today's show. That week 8, 49ers, Chicago Bears, could we see Trey Lance starting potentially in that game versus Justin Fields? That'll be a lot of fun. There is a number of games like that. Rookie quarterbacks will be super fun for me to track this year and see those games and see those teams play against each other, because Jacksonville, are they going to
in London?
Right. You know,
One versus two.
There's two London games too.
Overseas. I'm not sure exactly where it's at.
Yeah, I believe it's London. Yeah, there's two. I think both games are in London, right? And so that's absolutely going to be a fun game for me to watch. The Denver Broncos are a team that is ranked very high as far as easiest schedules in the NFL. Yeah. I think PFF has them in the top three easiest schedules. And what if we're talking about Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback there? And a couple of matchups. I know most of, when people look at the favorite matchups, you're looking at non-division opponents, because you already know the division opponents are going to play twice every year. But how about Mahomes versus Rodgers? If Rodgers ended up with the Broncos, with how easy the Broncos schedule is and what that would do for the Broncos team to add someone like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that is a powerhouse matchup. The Broncos just adding Rodgers alone, if that was to happen, I have no idea what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, by the way, but it just seems like the most natural place that he could end up right now would be the Denver Broncos. Man, I think it's week 10 is the first time the Chiefs and Broncos would play. That would be must-see TV.
Wow. That absolutely would. And, you know, just to get back to the strength of schedule thing here real quick, you mentioned it. Denver's second on Warren's list, and that's not even with – I mean, it doesn't matter if they add Aaron Rodgers or not. Their opponents are very favorable, even though they're in a tough division. There's some really good teams that have, you know, quote, easy schedules here, including your Niners. I think that Denver team's really good. I think the Browns at 3 are a really good team. Miami at 4, the Champs at 5, Colts at 6, Dallas at 7. I mean, even Buffalo at 9. I mean, they're some of the best teams in the league that look like they have a pretty easy path. And that happens to the best teams because they don't have to play themselves. You know, like the Patriots always had an easy schedule in the East because they played 3 bad teams in the East and they didn't have to play themselves. But still, I mean, I think that's a huge leg up for Cleveland, perhaps, you know, because the rest of that division has really hard schedules. You know,
it's interesting how Cleveland has a somewhat easy schedule by most accounts, but a team like the Steelers, I'm seeing, has one of the most difficult schedules almost by every analyst that's looking at these things.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens have the 23rd easiest, the Bengals have the 28th easiest, and the Steelers have the 31st easiest. I mean, so second toughest, obviously, where the Browns have the 3rd easiest, which I don't know how that works. I mean, there's only 3 variable games, but still, I'm putting faith in this metric, and I think the best way to do strength of schedule. And along those lines, the Steelers have the second hardest, the Raiders have the hardest, you know, where Denver's 2 and the Raiders are 32, you know, so Vegas and Pittsburgh are way at the bottom, kind of like the Niners are at the top of the list. I mean, the distant 31, 32.
I'm not sure if I'm buying Cleveland has an easy schedule. They're at Kansas City to start. They do have Houston in week 2, Chicago week 3. There's a chance Chicago is better maybe than we expect right now. A rookie quarterback, you never know, but I envision a Justin Herbert type situation there. I really do believe in Justin Fields, and I think he'll play early. I don't know if it's going to be week 1, but I think by the time they play the Browns in week 3, Justin Fields is going to be the quarterback there. The Chargers, the Cardinals, Broncos, Steelers twice, Cincinnati is on there twice, which could be easy games, but a healthy Burrow could give that team a boost and they could start winning a lot more games. You've got New England on the schedule, Baltimore twice, Las Vegas, Green Bay. That's not a super easy schedule. There's some easier games potentially, but almost every team on that list except for Houston and Detroit, I could envision being a pretty difficult opponent most weeks.
Yeah. It sounds like the teams that get Houston and Detroit are pretty high on this list because we also mentioned there's only, I mentioned the Steelers are 31, the Raiders are 32. Well, Detroit is 29 and Houston is 30. So are they going to be favored in any game this year? I mean, I don't know their schedules, but they're the two worst teams in the league by pretty much consensus, especially Houston. And they also have really difficult slates, so best of luck.
How about this for a prediction? The Houston Texans are going to do what the Jacksonville Jaguars did last year, and they're going to do it to the Jaguars. Week one is Houston at home hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like Houston to win that game against Jacksonville, who has a rookie first-time quarterback, a first-time NFL coach coming in there. I think Jacksonville could be better than they were last year, but I like Houston in that game and in that game only, including the next time they play Jacksonville in Jacksonville. I think this could be a 1-15 team that wins that week one game in 2020.
1-16.
1-16, that's right. Yeah.
Losing streak, right? Yeah. Sounds very feasible to me. And I thought you were going to say something along the lines of this is how things have gone for Houston lately. They'll be the worst team in the league, and then they'll win in weeks 18 and get the second pick in the draft. You know?
That's also something that could definitely happen to them. Yeah. The poor Houston Texans. But I think clearly the Houston Texans, I think their over-under in Vegas right now is 4 wins, and I might take the under on that.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Especially, I haven't studied their schedule, but especially if they do have as brutal of a schedule as this makes out to be. Couple other nuggets I want to throw out.
Yeah, sure.
Teams with 3 straight road games, and stats will tell you, road games, you're at a disadvantage anytime. But the second road game, I think teams win like 30%. Don't quote me on these numbers, but it's in the neighborhood. The third straight road team, NFL teams win like 11%. So 3 straight road games is a really difficult chore, and the Bengals, Cowboys, and Colts are the 3 teams that have 3 straight road games this year.
How about this one? I thought this was a super interesting one from Warren Sharp. The longest stretch between road games, so essentially home for an entire month. There's 3 teams that are home for 32 days or more. The Chiefs have a home stretch in mid-November to mid-December that is 32 straight days. The Dolphins are home for 36 straight days in almost the same time frame there, November, December. So they get both holidays. The Dolphins get both holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas at home, and they're home the entire time in between. And the Ravens have almost 40 days, 39 days at home between October 4th and November 11th.
Wow. And then to take it even a step further, there's 2 teams that only have 1 road game in a 50-day stretch, and that's the Chiefs and Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins in 57 days only leave home once. In 53 days, Kansas City only leaves home once. You know, that's you would think those teams, especially the Chiefs, because they're so good, would just be on a tear at that point.
And that also means there's probably some rough road stretches, too, with those teams, to start the year. But, man, that is really interesting. That's got to be nice for Dolphins fans and Dolphin family. Like you were talking about, hey, okay, let's look at the schedule, what's going on in Christmas. Oh, cool. Look at this, honey. I get both holidays at home.
Right, unless you're married to my wife and says, oh, no, you're playing on the holidays. There's a couple other sharp notes here I like, too, that the Patriots face 3 opponents that are coming off a bye. You know, that's a lot. I mean, that's not easy to pull off. I mean, they're the only team that has to deal with that. And then I think the primetime games are kind of interesting, too. There's a ton of teams here. I'm counting them. 10 teams have played 5 primetime games, you know, so we're going to see a lot of these 10 teams playing each other. You know, it's all the usual suspects, the big markets and the good teams, but some interesting scheduling quirks.
And that's the maximum, 5 primetime games, and there's 10 teams that have that. That's surprising. Yeah. That seems high. I don't know if it's always that high, but that seems excessive.
And then Kansas City, kind of sort of the opposite of what we mentioned with New England, they get to play three of their games when their opponent is coming off a Monday nighter. I think that's a big advantage.
That is a huge advantage, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't need any more advantages in Kansas City.
All right, I got one question on how schedules are made coming up, and then we'll talk about some of the latest signings next. Finish up this Thursday episode of Peacock and Williamson. We've seen how the draft could change some things for teams. What about looking at the schedule? How do those win totals look now? Are you a little bit more bullish on your favorite team? You can put some money on it at betonline.ag. NFL futures, props. There's Tim Tebow props already up at betonline.ag. Of course, UFC, MMA, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL. Get the latest news, odds, and all the info for your sporting needs. Get in the action at betonline.ag, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all of your sports. Also, table games. You've got reality TV, tons of things to bet on at BetOnline. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their playoff runs in the NBA. Head over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Matt, I'm not sure how much insight you have to this. I know I read a Peter King article, I think it was a couple years ago, that dove into and talked to some of the people that are in charge of making the schedule for the NFL and how far ahead some things are planned and what the process is. But Toby wants to know, how are these things decided? How are locations for games decided for NFL games? I've always thought that where you play matters more than is talked about. The Seahawks, for example, playing the Packers at home is an easier proposition than playing at Lambeau Field. Following up from this, it also appears that some franchises appear to get the rub of the green as to where they play the toughest opponents. Saints, Seahawks, and Packers often seem to get their toughest challenges on paper as home games. So that's Toby's question about how some of these things are made, he had some other questions there about how the schedules are made. And I know that the process, from what I remember, that was laid out in the Peter King article is very mundane, and the computer is spitting out 50, 60,000 schedules, and there's a group of people that go through, look at them all, and decide which one is the best, and pick one piece of paper and say, well, this is the schedule.
Yeah, I know some of these things, and I've laid out, I've laid out many times who the opponents are, and, you know, home versus road. For example, that 17th game this year, AFC is home in that game. Next year, it'll be NFC. So there is some alternating things. And when you play an opposing division, when you play all four of those teams, two are home, two are away. But I don't know how they figure out which two. You know, I mean, so I'm not exactly sure on that. Same with the all the games, I'm not sure, that are non-division or non-extra, that 17th game, I'm not exactly sure how they decide which of those, I mean, it's going to be 50-50, are home and away. I do know some things come into play, like, let's say your favorite team has a Kenny Chesney concert, you know, or some kind of potential conflict with their stadium. Back whenever people used to go to stadiums, I think you can put in requests like, hey, in September 2nd weekend, can we be on the road? Or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think there are some of those, and I'm not positive of this, but I think when they do, kind of like you said, they spit out all those schedules, which is a lot of work, obviously. I think they give them to all 32 teams, and they don't need approval, but I'm sure some teams will be like, hey, can we change this? Or the stadium's going to be occupied the day before. I'm not sure we can get it ready, or, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And they already have future opponents figured out years in advance too. So you can go look right now and find out what your team's schedule is mostly going to look like next.
There's only
season.
Three variable games every year. Right. Everything else is laid out until eternity.
Yeah. You're going to find out what, you know, if you are a second place team, you're going to play other second place teams. And that's one of the things that you'll figure out later. But you already know home and road in a lot of cases who you're going to play in coming years. And so some of the stuff is predetermined. How it all comes together, which weeks things are being played is one of the aspects that gets changed, and it's a pretty mundane process, and they go through
way above my pay grade.
Right. And they go through and they try to figure out the best way to do it, and it's never perfect, and there's some random stuff involved too. So whenever you think your team's getting screwed a lot, it's probably just the coin flip that's getting you a couple times.
Usually, yeah, exactly. You know, and some of it's because they want the best draws to be in prime time, and I always bring it back to the Steelers, but the Steelers have a road game on the West Coast on a Monday night. Well, that means they get back home in their beds at like 8 a.m. the next day. You know, that's rough. I mean, it's harder to be the Cowboys and some of these teams that are always on prime time because long road trips after a night game, people don't think about that. By the time you actually get in your house, it's the next day. You know, like, that's hard.
That's absolutely difficult. Tim Tebow, does he make the roster for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Are you surprised he's coming back to the NFL to play tight end? And why did he wait a decade too long to do so?
I don't think he makes a team. I don't think this is a successful mission at all. I think, his opponents are going to kind of beat the crap out of him. I think that any other town, any other coach, this would never even be on the radar. He's a Jacksonville legend. That team doesn't exactly sell tickets and jerseys, as well as, most teams, although now Trevor Lawrence is there. And you have the Urban Meyer connection. But if everyone has a fair crack to make the final roster, my hunch is he won't belong. Hey, I'm rooting for him. I mean, I hope he's the best tight end in the league and, does wonderful things. But I just don't see it.
Yeah, and I saw some people say, oh, he's taking up a roster spot from someone who actually deserves it. And it's like, oh, these are 90-man rosters and training camps. I mean, there is a lot of fodder there. So I don't have a problem with that. And he at least knows football and has been playing sports, so he's in somewhat of shape. And I thought he was a third round tight end coming out of college. I was blown away that he was a first round quarterback, and more power to him. Let's see if he can figure it. And look, the Jacksonville roster at tight end isn't good either. So if there's a team he could make, this is the only one maybe in the NFL, obviously with the Urban Meyer connection, that he was going to get a shot to that he could make. And who knows? Probably not likely. I would put the over under on one career catch from here on out for
Mr. Tebow.
Yeah, Mr. Tebow. And you take the under on that?
I think so. I mean, I'd love to see him as the personal protector on punt team. You could, you could snap him the ball. He could throw it. He could run it. You can add a lot of things. I would hate if he Taysom Hill's some snaps away from Trevor Lawrence. That would make me insane. If they have this big elaborate plan on how to use them, I think they're wasting their time and they should focus on Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and, the guys that are, really the foundation.
Some other signings we haven't talked about. We only have about a minute or two to cover this, but Eric Fisher is a big one going to the Indianapolis Colts. They didn't find an offensive tackle in the draft, as we mentioned when we were covering that. We thought that was a bit of a head scratcher. They're going to sign Eric Fisher to a 1-year contract. If he's healthy, it's obviously a nice little signing there, but that's a big question. Will he be healthy and ready to go for the Colts this year? What are your thoughts on Fisher or any of the other signings that happened this week?
Yeah, there was a couple tackles that got signed I thought were noteworthy. My hunch is Indianapolis and Fisher have had this in place for some time, and they can wait on them. I forget their left tackle off the top of my head. Tevi, I think is his name, the guy from the Chargers, who's not good, but if he's there for the first month, 6 weeks until Fisher's ready, you can live with that. I mean, I think this was in place. The teams tell us what they think in the draft. They would have drafted a tackle if they were super worried about it. They didn't. That was a red flag when it happened. So this makes perfect sense. But the one I really like is Charles Leno going to Washington. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of the Bears cap situation, but after they traded up for Tevin Jenkins, they cut Leno. Leno is a quality player who really doesn't have a lot wrong with him. I think he's a gift for the football team.
That was an interesting move to just jettison a veteran player. Yeah. Because you never know what that rookie is going to look like. And I understand you want him to start and you project him to start, but, still
doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't always. It rarely works, actually. That we get so excited about these rookies in the draft. It rarely works that those rookies are ready to go and good early in their rookie year or in their rookie year at all in many cases. So
sure.
That's a leap of faith, obviously.
And he wasn't Penei Sewell. I mean, he was a second round pick.
Right. No, and they probably thought they had a first-round grade on him, and I totally get that. But, yeah, Leno, I think, is a good signing there for Washington.
I think that completes their offensive line. I think they need one more offensive lineman, preferably a left tackle, and they got a quality starter. So Washington's an interesting team.
And Washington, that gives Cosme some time because they drafted Cosme in the second round, right? He's not going, as we just mentioned, as a second round offensive tackle. He's not ready to jump into that starting lineup yet, and they can give him some time, whether he's left tackle or right tackle. They'll probably try to work him in at left tackle eventually. But interesting, interesting team there forming in Washington with some dynamic athletic weapons. Quarterback is obviously going to be the big question. Taylor Heinicke backing up Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Fitz Magic. You got Kyle Allen there too. Interesting team. Interesting team. Yeah. And a powerhouse defense.
A lot like Denver to me. Like, I mean, I think people are looking at Fitzpatrick and just saying, wow, what a great pickup. And he's better than Haskins and what we saw from Alex Smith last year. And he'll be more aggressive, of course. But don't tell me all of a sudden we think he's like the answer or, you know, one of the top 20 quarterbacks in the league, you know,
when he shows
and there's
up
nothing behind him.
When that certain Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up and it goes from Fitz magic to Fitz tragic, as they like to say, and he throws three or four picks in week two, you're like, oh, wait a second. Okay. Well, this is not what we hoped it was going to be. We didn't get the magic part of Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he's a veteran and they can probably win some games and win some games in the style that they're trying to, which is, I think, important there. But yeah quarterback, a big
they'll
question.
They'll be fun, though. They'll be fun.
Good stuff. We'll be back Friday finishing up those Washington football. Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about the Washington football drafts. That's why I haven't talked about Samuel Cosmi and the rest of the NFC East wrapping up the NFL draft. Then next week, get those questions in at BD Peacock, at Williamson NFL for our big mailbag show, and then positional rankings. It chugs along here in the offseason on Peacock and Williamson.